They have the four faces, one like a lion, one like an ox, one like an eagle, and the fourth face like that of a man. And these creatures are right the closest to God's throne out of all of creation. And in terms of our spiritual role models, you know, we look up to the apostles, we look up to the angels, and these creatures are there close to God, and they teach us something about the characteristics that God values and the characteristics that will take us also close to the throne of God. And we thought about the lion, the king of the beasts, and you have to listen to that one if you missed it. Last time we thought about the ox and the perseverance, the hard working, the humbleness, the strength of the ox. Today we're thinking about the eagle, and the eagle is a great picture of the prophetic ministry, amongst other things. We're going to think about three different things to do with the eagle and how it relates to us in our spiritual life. One is to do with the seeing of the eagle. The second is to do with the soaring of the eagle. And the third is to do, lastly, with the hunting of the eagle. They're magnificent creatures, aren't they? I just love eagles. Some countries, they have a lot of eagles. In Pakistan, where my sister lives, you look up in the sky over the cities and you see thousands of eagles soaring high in the sky all day long. Just amazing creatures to watch. For those that missed the others in the series, I should just say that of these four living creatures, Jesus himself is the ultimate of all the four. You know, he's the Lion of Judah, he's the great ruler, he carried our yoke, you know, he carried the cross, he's the ox that shares the burden with us, and he's the greatest of the prophets, and then of course he's the Son of Man. So thinking about the eagle then, and I don't believe it, this has just stopped working. This works so fantastically in practice. Do we still have, yeah, we still have battery. Can you do it on the... Let's try again. There we go. Thinking about the eye of the eagle. The eagle's eye is the strongest of all the eyes in the animal kingdom. Although eagles actually can only weigh, say, 10 pounds, which is 5% of a human body, their eye is the same size as a human eye. So it's 20 times bigger proportionately than a human eye. Their eyes actually weigh the same as their brains. That's how good their eyes are. They can spot a rabbit 3.2 kilometers away. Isn't that amazing? If you swapped your eye for an eagle's eye, you'd be able to see a tiny ant crawling on the ground when you were stood on the roof of a 10-story building. Not just the size, but they have a much greater array of colours as well. We just see a limited spectrum because of the way our eyes process colour. But for eagles, everything is in much greater technicolour detail, and the difference of light and shade and all the different range of colours, they can see much more clearly and brightly than us. They also have a 340-degree field of vision, so they can almost see behind their heads. That would be useful for those of us that are parents. To see so well, eagles have to fly very high. And they actually fly between 2 and 3 miles up in the sky. Once up there, they have a choice between seeing with a wide perspective, so they can see far, far away over the mountains and the hills and the forests all at the same time. Or if they choose, they can focus their eyes, and like a telescope, they can zoom in. From 3 miles up, they can zoom in to see the minute details of a rabbit and where it's hiding and all of that. Now, I wonder what your perspective on life is like. I think for many of us, our perspective is more like the perspective of the chicken than the eagle. And the chicken lives in its little coop, and it's only interested in what it sees as it looks down. It doesn't have a broad vision. It's just worried about the little things of today. And you know, for many of us in the church, our life is more like a chicken than an eagle. We're just bothered about me and my little life and my family and my health and how everything is in my little world. And, you know, none of us would put our hands up and admit to that. But you just think what you've prayed about over the last week or so. Are there issues that you pray about? In other words, are the issues that are the most important to you that you bring to God? Are they just like the issues of the chicken that just touch our own little narrow world? Just the things that we see, the things that bother us in our little world. I often think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was carrying in his mind and in his heart the thought that he was going to go to the cross to die for the sin of the whole world, the people of all time, in all places. And he was concentrating on that, and he asked his disciples, please, could you come and pray with me? He was like the eagle that had the big perspective. And his disciples, well, they were tired, and probably more than that, there was their vision, because if you have the vision, you can make your body do anything. They just couldn't see this dying for all people in all places at all times. They were just thinking about my day tomorrow. I want to be fine. If I rest now, then I'll have more energy for my little chicken life in my little coop tomorrow. And because they didn't have the vision, they didn't have the energy, and they couldn't stay and wake and pray with Jesus. I wonder if we're like that so often. We're concerned with our little life for tomorrow, whereas God is burdened by many other things, the unreached people all over the globe, tribes who've never heard his name, the 1 in 9 of our planet who suffer from malnutrition. 1 in 9. That's a lot of people, isn't it? That can't function properly because they just don't have enough food to live in. Or he's thinking of the 1 in 3 of the urban population, the world's urban population that live in slums. 33% living with no electricity, no running water, no toilets, no shelter from the heat or the rain. So God's heart is thinking of those things. Those are the big burdens on his heart. The refugee crisis, 65 million people last year were forced out of their homes. That's more than the whole population of our country. Imagine having to leave your home and everything that you know and just walk who knows where and to try and find a safe place. So, you know, God's heart is full of many things. And are we those that will take a stand with him as he suffers in his garden, as his heart is weighed down by pain? We need to enlarge our vision and to care sometimes about the things that God cares about in our prayers. God has the big vision, but he also can zoom in. He's the God who notices every time a sparrow falls to the ground. And actually, your little life isn't too little for God to be interested in it. Like the eagle that can see wide or narrow, he can see all the important details of your life at the same time. Now, that doesn't mean that we should only focus on ourselves. That's not good for us. You know, we need to grasp the wider perspective. But at the same time, God does notice the things that are important to you. He numbers the hairs on your head. He catches all your tears and stores them in his bottle. He's the God who has got a plan for every day that you live, and he wrote it down in his book before any of them came to be. The thing is that God looks at your life differently from how you look at your life. He has this eagle perspective on your life that he invites us into that perspective so that we can live our life from heaven's perspective. Don't live like a chicken with this small perspective, but live like an eagle. Now, how do we live differently? Well, what happens is, you know, in our life, different problems come along. Confusions and sickness and relationship issues. People are mean to us and fall out with us, or we run out of money, or whatever the issue is that comes, they come along. And so often what happens is that we focus on the problems. And when you look down, like the chicken looks down, the problems seem to get bigger. And as the problems get bigger, your world changes and becomes cold and grey. You don't know you're doing it, but you're actually connecting your life to the life in the problems. You're drawing your strength off something that is negative. It's like hemorrhaging. When you look down, you're giving your energy, you're giving your life into something that just sucks it away. And you lose your strength. Now just think about your last week or two. We all have difficulties, don't we? What have been the difficult issues that you've faced the last couple of weeks? And what has it made you do in your mind? So in Jacob's well, you know, our forklift broke down. £650 it was going to cost to repair it. The same day, the van, our new wonderful van, broke down, and that needed a new clutch and possibly a new flywheel, and it was going to be £650 or £1,000, depending what happened. And we needed them both urgently. So things like that happen, don't they? And it all seems to happen at the same time. And the more you look at it, the more depressed you get if you're not careful. So what sort of things make you look down? Financial pressure? Difficult people? Do any of you have difficult people in your life? Is there anyone who doesn't have any difficult people in your life? If so, ring me and I can come and be difficult for you. Sickness or pain? Sickness makes you depressed, doesn't it? It can pull you down. And you can spend your focus goes on how can I get better and how can I get over this pain and what's going to happen in the future. Difficult circumstances, loneliness, lack of purpose, perhaps you haven't got a job, time hangs heavy, old age, some people just don't like getting older and it becomes bigger and bigger in their mind and it's almost like their happiness is turning to grey because they see no future. But the thing is, when you look down, this is what actually happens to you. You disconnect with God. When you connect with your problem, you're not connected with God. The thing about the human eye is that we can only look in one direction at once. You know, you can't look up and down at the same time. So when you look down, you're not looking up. You lose your joy. The more you focus on the difficulty, the more difficult it becomes. You lose your strength. Why is that? The joy of the Lord is your strength. When you have joy, you can tackle impossible situations. But the more you focus on the difficult things, the more they grow and the less power you have to face them. Then you start complaining, struggling, arguing, speaking negative words against it or against other people. You become angry, bitter, frustrated or hopeless. And somehow it cuts you off from your life and it can make your faith get smaller as well. Now we need to really be careful when difficult things happen to us about what we say. And this is why the Bible says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Another translation says, do everything without complaining. How many of you never complain? Something might happen, the car might break down, or like us, the forklift breaks down. You know, it's only a month since we spent over £1,000 doing our forklift up, rebuilding the engine, and a few weeks later it goes wrong again. And you could complain about the garage or the forklift, and, you know, the wretched thing, and kick it. And, you know, the Bible says do everything without complaining. Why is that? It's because the tongue has the power of life or death. Complaining is the opposite, or one of the opposites of faith. Complaining is faith in reverse. Faith, it says in Hebrews 11, gains what is promised. God promises good things. He promises healing. When you believe it, the faith is what brings those good things into your life. When you start complaining, grumbling and criticizing and being angry and speaking out negative words, instead of bringing the good things into your life, it actually somehow lets them hemorrhage out of your life. It's the opposite. It's the negative. It's the black against the white. James says this, the tongue is full of restless evil, full of deadly poison. That's the same as Proverbs. It's full of life, life and death in the power of the tongue. You can actually create disaster by the way you speak in a difficult situation. You can depress yourself. You can make things worse for the family and those around you. And you're actually putting poison, spiritual poison, that actually makes the situation itself worse. James goes on, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. You can actually speak a curse as you speak negatively in your difficult situation. There's power in those words that actually give strength to that difficult situation. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, and that should never be. So instead of looking down, what we need to do is look up. We need to learn to soar on wings like eagles above the difficult situations. So here's another person, and he's not looking down, he's looking up. Now the same circumstances come along, but can you notice, because he's looking in a different direction, he can hardly notice these things. They're not important. They're not blocking his line of vision because he's looking up to God. And what happens when you look up to God is that your world changes colour, because your vision is filled with can and not cannot. It's filled with positive and not negative. It's filled with love and power and hope and joy and strength, because all those things, that is who God is. As you gaze on him, you're not connecting to all the negatives and the problems that are down there. You're connecting to life and power and strength. You're connecting, and the power is going from God into you. What happens to your problems? They become smaller. You have more power to overcome them. What happens when you look up? You connect with God. So the first time something goes wrong next week, you get sick, or someone else gets sick, or someone says something horrible to you, don't fix your brain on that. Connect with God. Think, God loves me. It doesn't matter if they're mean, because God accepts me. think God knows what I'm going through. God loves me. God is able to sort out even this situation. Think, I have put my life in God's hands, and I've not taken it out. My life is still in God's hands. You know, some people have more faith in the power of the devil to destroy than the power of God to protect. You put your life in God's hands, the devil can't snatch your life out of his hands. Some people have too much faith in the devil. God is so much bigger than the devil. Now, the enemy comes to try and sneak in and trick and deceive, but if we trust in God, then he can't snatch our life out of his hand. You look up, you connect with God, what starts to happen? Supernatural power comes into your life. You start to grow in strength and faith, and these problems seem to shrink because you're growing bigger. God starts to take control of your circumstances. Your life becomes filled with praise, worship, and happiness. You have no anxiety, stress, or fear. God doesn't want you to live with anxiety. It's not part of his plan for your life. You know, if you're living in anxiety, it's because you're looking in the wrong place. You need to look up, and then you won't have stress or fear or anxiety in your life. And you'll instead live this abundant, fulfilling, victorious life. For the chicken, as it tries to walk along, it's limited. There are all these, you know, obstacles. It has to try and climb up the fence and then climb up the next thing. For the eagle, the ground is always level because he's always above. And that's how it is for God. You know, there's no problems for God. God has no problems. Just in case you don't believe that, let me say it again. God has no problems. And if you give your life to God, then from his perspective, there's no real problems for you. Of course, difficult issues come and go. I understand that as much as you. But God is on the throne. He's in control of our life. He loves us more than we love ourselves. And he's able to take us to the places that he wants us to go through. So it's your choice. Today, tomorrow, every day. Do you look down? Or do you look up? Do you worry? Or do you worship? That one didn't quite go right, did it? I don't know what happened to the P there. Do you complain? Or do you proclaim the goodness of God? Do you sink? Or do you soar? Do you curse? Or do you praise? Are you drawing from death, or are you drawing from the power of life? God wants us every day, irrelevant what the circumstances are, to be soaring on wings like the eagle, and that is possible. You can live like that, so that every day you're living in happiness, in peace, in victory, close to God, full of joy on the inside. That's how he wants you to live. Just quickly, just for a few minutes, to talk about the eagle as a hunter. Because, you know, that's the other thing. The eagle is one of the most effective and vicious predators in the natural world. Eagles are ruthless. They're not nice, cuddly birds, you know, like, I don't know, budgies or something. I mean, just, you know, they're fierce. There's a look in the eye of the eagle, isn't there? That you wouldn't want to mess with an eagle. They have razor-sharp beaks. They have equally sharp and strong talons that can just rip flesh to pieces, supported by huge muscles. And they beat their wings as they come in. You know, they can knock small animals unconscious with the power of their wings. So with those three things all coordinated by this amazing vision. And then to add to that, they have this incredible speed. The eagles can actually fly up to 120 miles an hour. Imagine that. That's nearly twice as fast as you go down the motorway. That's how fast, you know, they're going as they wham into the whatever it is they're attacking. I mean, that's just incredible speed, isn't it? And these poor little things have little or no chance. So the eagle watches patiently, invisibly from the sky, and then it swoops down onto its prey. And eagles attack animals much bigger than itself. There's some amazing pictures on you know, the internet, if you're interested there. It's attacking mountain goats. They often swoop down and the goats are standing on ledges and they knock them off the ledge. And then they go down and catch them. But even big goats like that, they attack them. They attack wolves, leopards, they've been known to attack huge swans, which weigh much more than eagles in midair. I mean, they're just amazing hunters. When the eagle decides it's going to get something, it nearly always gets it. And that's a great picture of, you know, the spiritual life to which we're called. We're called to be the eagle. And in our world, you know, there are vermin. There are works of the enemy, things of darkness that are trying to worm their way into our worlds to harm and to destroy. Sickness, evil people, people, you know, doing bad things and polluting the minds of our children and young people. And the scripture has many promises that say that we can overcome these things. The one that is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. That's a great promise, isn't it? Jesus is in you, and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one who created the planets, and he's in you. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Another one, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. These are great verses. These are promises that are true for you in your situation, for your children, for your town, for your church. When things come in to try and harm your children or your family, or to destroy your life, God has given you power to overcome all the work of the enemy. Nothing will harm you, it goes on to say. Isn't that an amazing promise? And then another one, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, there's a lot of bad things happen in our world, and God is bigger than all of the bad things. And as we focus our prayers on the difficult things, that's like the eagle that's coming in for the attack. You know, our prayers are powerful to pull down strongholds. A while ago, I was working with a guy, and in his town, they built this sex shop right in the middle of town, and you know, Christians don't like things like that. It was horrible. You know, it has an attraction that draws in the wrong people, and you know, it's just bad. And he started praying every day against this sex shop. Every day he went past it on his way to work, and he just prayed, God, I pray that you pull down this place, shut this shop. We don't want this in Jesus' name. And he hadn't done it for, it hadn't been open for that long. It was open for a month or two. And then he was driving past it on his way to work. And there was like a commotion out there. There was the fire engines and everything. And he sort of parked his car up and looked to see what had happened. And the sex shop had actually burnt. You know, it was like blackened, all burnt down, and, you know, parts of the building had collapsed. The buildings on either side, it was in a row, were just totally untouched. Not damaged, no broken windows or anything. So he went and he asked someone standing there, what happened? Was there a fire or did something happen? And they said, oh, we don't know what happened. Someone said they thought it had been struck by lightning, but we don't know. And it just was destroyed, just burnt out. And it was never rebuilt. Never, well, the shop's there, but the sex shop went bankrupt and never came back. Now, that is the power of your prayer. We don't believe God could do things like that, do we? Or do we? Do we attack things that are attacking the kingdom of God? There were a couple of shops came into Beverly a few years ago, and Kathy and me just felt these places are wrong, evil places. There was like a witchy shop down towards Wednesday Market, and there was a video game shop that was selling all the really awful 18-year-old X-rated games to little 12-year-old kids and stuff. And we started praying. Within a month or two, both those shops are gone. You know, when you pray, things happen. There's a great story I love about the guy called Johnny Oxterby, who was one of the Primitive Methodist leaders. And in Driffield, they were building the Primitive Methodist chapel there. And they had a plot of land and they were building up. But at that time, the law said that if the person in the next door garden, you know, if his tree was overhanging your plot, you had no legal rights to cut the branches down or anything like that. And there was this huge tree in the next door plot that was overshadowing so that they couldn't actually build the wall up enough to put the roof on for where they were going to put their church. And they tried to talk to the landlord and he wouldn't let them. He was just against the church and he didn't want a church there. They offered him money and he wouldn't take the money. So in the end, they called for this guy called Johnny Oxterby, who was nicknamed Praying Johnny. They asked him to come and pray against, you know, this tree. And so this guy, Johnny Oxterby, comes to Driffield and they have a prayer meeting. And he starts off by preaching about faith and telling the people off for having so little faith that they can't even believe that God would do this. And then they pray. And as they went into the building, it was raining, you know, and then as they're praying, they're hearing thunder. And as they pray, a thunderstorm comes and lightning strikes the tree. And the branch, the big branch that is overhanging their place, is just severed off in one strike, just as they pray. Now, isn't that amazing? Another guy I worked with, his father was one of these old Pentecostal pioneers, you know, back in the sort of 30s and 40s. And he was building a church, and the neighbor of his church didn't want a church there, and they grew this massive hedge that was over, you know, put the whole church in darkness, all the windows and everything. And again, they tried to persuade them to move it and all of that, and in the end they decided to call a few days of prayer and fasting. And they came in and they had these days of prayer and fasting, and at the end of this time they came out of church. And this is absolutely true, and I've talked to the guy himself. He was 85 when I talked to him. There was this massive army of ants had appeared, and they were eating away at the tree. And you know, within a few days, well, not the tree, it was a hedge, a whole hedge, the length of the church. Within a few days, that hedge had been eaten away by these ants. Just gone. Maybe some of you have talked to the guy. It was the father of Mark Hutton, who used to lead the community church with me, Beverly Community Church, his father. Just God is amazing. We don't need to live under the power of evil, because God is powerful. He can overcome all these things. And we need to be like the eagle that goes in, targets specific things as the Holy Spirit leads us, and go for them in our prayers. And they don't always disappear instantly, but if we keep praying and believing, the things that are standing against God, eventually they will disappear. So the eagle, it sees, it soars, and it hunts. And let's us try and bring some of those qualities into our own life. Let's just pray to finish, shall we? Lord God, we just thank you for the beauty and the majesty, the fierceness of the eagle. We just pray that you would bring some of those characteristics into our life. Let us not be like the chicken. Let us look up. Let us not give our energy to complain or to criticize, but let only positive words come out of our mouth. Let us worship. Let us proclaim. Let us look up. Father, we just pray that you change us on the inside and change our circumstances in our life on the outside so that we can live in the same atmosphere that you live in, the atmosphere of worship. Father, we thank you for your word that teaches us how to live an abundant life. Empower us to live like that by your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. At the end of the meeting, as we usually do, if anybody feels they'd like prayer ministry for anything, please feel free to come forward. If it's healing, or you just need more strength or power from God, whatever the issue is, feel free to come and we'd be very happy to pray for you. Don't forget, 7 o'clock tonight, we have our worship and our prayer meeting.